Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your episode for Wednesday, March 7th, and a tired team coming to Detroit on a back-to-back, so opportunity knocks tonight for the Detroit Pistons. This is your host, Matt Shook, and you can find me on Twitter at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that, and also at the Locked On Pistons Twitter feed. Give us a follow there, and also on Facebook at Locked On Pistons dash Matt Shook. I've been following this team my whole life, like many of you guys, and covering pro sports, college sports, local sports, high school sports, all sorts of sports and news for newspapers for 15 years as well. I'm a Central Michigan University grad, and I cover the NBA as a credentialed writer for the AP here in Chicago on a freelance basis. And today on Locked On Pistons, we're going to be looking ahead to tonight's game against the Toronto Raptors and also give a couple reasons, and maybe this is sad, probably this is sad, but a couple reasons for optimism for Pistons fans who might foresee a nice finish to the season despite the doldrums of the year right now, which might even include a playoff run. Hey, crazier things have happened in the NBA, and they've happened to this team and this coach in the past as well. Maybe a little bit of a sad exercise, what we're doing here on the podcast, but probably just for a small little bit that will have a little hope for those of you out here who dare to dream. But we'll also hear some short clips later on from an interview that the Locked On Heat guys, David Ramil, the co-host of that podcast, did with over the weekend with the Pistons assistant coach Tim Hardaway, the NBA legend who sits by Stan Van Gundy's side during games for the Pistons, who are playing, by the way, host to the Raptors tonight at Little Caesars Arena, an 8 p.m. start on ESPN a little bit later than usual. Toronto is playing the second of a back-to-back after beating the Hawks 106-90 on Tuesday night north of the border in the Great White Tundra of Toronto, Ontario, Canada. It was a game that Toronto maybe needed to expel a lot more energy than maybe they thought they would, or maybe the energy they didn't dispel early caused them to just do it later. One of those two, not really sure, but Atlanta led by 1 point, the cellar-dwelling Hawks going into the fourth quarter, leading by one, but Toronto outscored the young Hawks 30-13 in the final period. It was the fifth straight win for the Raptors, who are in first place in the NBA's Eastern Conference. All-star DeMar DeRozan led the way with 25 points, 4 points just for Kyle Lowry, who had 7 assists, but an off night. Didn't really shoot the ball that much, not really injured. I was wondering what was going on. I didn't watch the game. But no real news to report on Kyle Lowry other than he had a low scoring output. But the news on the team is that OG Anunoby, the rookie from IU, and one of the great finds of last summer's draft, he missed his third straight game with an injury, and no word of whether he'll be available tonight against the Pistons. But if he's not, it will probably be Malcolm Miller, who started in his place and has, while Anunoby has been out. Anunoby's a big loss for the Raptors, despite the fact that they've won all the games without him. He has great defensive and offensive ratings numbers when he is in on the court for the team, for Dwayne Casey, who's a nice candidate for Coach of the Year, my pick for midseason Coach of the Year, by the way. But one of the strongest benches in the NBA, and you got to give credit to the front office of the Toronto Raptors for that, and the player development of the coaching staff, of course, as well. In fact, about that bench, here's a tweet from the great Zach Lowe of ESPN.com from a few days back, and ESPN as well, as he's been on TV a lot more lately. But Zach tweeted, "A total of 95 five-man lineups have logged at least 100 minutes this season. Best net rating / point differential among all of them, Toronto's bench mob of Fred VanVleet, DeLon Wright, Pascal Siakam, Jakob Poeltl, and CJ Miles, outscoring opponents by almost 28 points per 100 possessions." And that's one of those units that really makes you scratch your head in terms of the free agency pickups and draft misses that the Pistons have had over the years in the Stan Van Gundy era. Along those lines, I was listening to the Ringer's NBA podcast on Tuesday, Kevin O'Connor and Chris Vernon. They had a quick segment about Stan Van Gundy. And it was weird that Chris Vernon, by the way, kind of opened the segment by talking about Stan Van Gundy as the team president as a past tense thing, like he was already fired and not really as a hypothetical. It sounded like he actually thought that he had been fired already, which was weird. And I'm not trying to criticize him, but it had me kind of feverishly Googling and updating Twitter as if I had missed something over the last couple of days or hours when I was listening to that podcast. Anyway, those two, and I like that show, were talking about Stan's dual role and both broke up laughing when they brought up the starters that had played against Cleveland on Monday night for the Pistons and then the primary bench players that are going for the team right now. Just like having uproarious laughter when talking about the Pistons roster. And then also laughing about the notion that the possibility of Reggie Jackson's return or John Luehr's injury or the idea that their injuries had a significant impact in holding this team back from a more competitive season, that it was kind of a joke. Now, there's a few ways of listening to stuff like this as a Pistons fan. It brings up the classic differences of a local versus national perspective, for better or worse, on both sides of them. On one hand, you could be provincial and suggest that these guys don't know what they're talking about. Reggie Jackson is kind of patient zero in that kind of hypothetical, because he, and that kind of thinking about Reggie kind of extends to the Pistons fan base. There's kind of no in between with him. You're either on board and a fan of him being a potential difference maker, or you're already out on him and you hate him and what he's brought to the team these past few years. I've gone back and forth with him, and of course that has to do with the year by year of how well he played a couple years ago, how poorly he played last year, and the injury issues that continue with his career, kind of depending on the season. But to give O'Connor and Vernon credit, it's important to have maybe listen to those kind of things and give us perspective on how the Pistons are perceived. Right now, the team is a joke in most NBA circles, and of course, much of that falls on Stan Van Gundy. Also, Stephen A. Smith even talked about the Pistons on First Take on Tuesday, and I'm not a fan of that show, by the way. I'm getting a lot of this information from a free.com article that aggregated a lot of this stuff. But here are the quote that Stephen A. Smith said on First Take. He said, "What the hell has happened to the Detroit Pistons?" I'm not going to do an impression on him, by the way, but the quote goes on. "When Blake Griffin arrived, particularly in the Eastern Conference, we were looking at the Detroit Pistons saying, yo, they can make some noise. They can do some things. I said in the East, with Blake and Drummond, Ish Smith, I like him, Reggie Jackson and those boys, they can play. Something is not right, and we need to have a conversation. It's about one of the two or both. It's either about Blake Griffin or it's about Stan Van Gundy. I expected more from the Detroit Pistons, and I ain't getting it." End quote of Stephen A. Smith there. And I don't think we'll be quoting Stephen A. Smith too much here on Locked On Pistons, but hope you enjoyed that. "We ain't getting it either, Stephen A. I feel you, brother." But by the way, those quotes, like I said, were from a freep.com article where they lifted. So I stole from them, and they aggregated from First Takes. That's what happened there. But anyway, Max Kellerman went on to suggest that the Pistons should trade Andre Drummond and maybe Reggie Jackson as well. My feeling is that there's no stone that shouldn't be unturned by the front office this offseason, whether that's Stan Van Gundy or Arne Tellem or whoever is in charge of those things in the near future. Blake's contract obviously makes him a difficult trade going forward, and it would appear that a player like Andre wouldn't net the value that you might want from him in the open market because of the stylistic changes in the league, the reasons that Andre's been so good in some ways for the Pistons, but those things aren't apparently as significant in the league right now, and aren't. I'm not, apparently, probably didn't even need to be said. It's a shooter's league, and obviously Andre Drummond doesn't really fit into that mold. I could be wrong about Andre's value, though, and you should certainly make those calls around the league and see if anyone's interested, especially with his value maybe as high as it might be after a great all-star season of him doing the things that he can do well on the court. Reggie, though, the injuries probably make him untradeable, and of course the variety of opinions that are out there about him, many of them being negative, although I can't really speak for front offices around the league. But sure, you'd make those calls too, I would imagine. But coming back to tonight's game, by the way, the Pistons 5-point underdogs tonight at home against the Raptors. But we also know, since Blake Griffin joined the team on February 1st against the Memphis Grizzlies, the Pistons are 6-9. Nice, by the way. 6 wins against teams on the second half of a back-to-back, and 9 losses against teams that are not. So maybe there's some reason for hope for tonight's game. And another note, the Pistons will play Toronto again at home on April 9th, the second to last game of the season, and that again will be a game where the Raptors will be on the second half of a back-to-back. But in addition to optimism about tonight's game, and I realize some of you are laughing at the word optimism and that maybe I sound a little bit ridiculous, but we got plenty of reasons to have a look back, a eulogy on the season going forward and what we can do to change it. They are still playing games, and they're technically not mathematically eliminated yet. So we're going to give a couple reasons for optimisms for the rest of the season that the Pistons fans might have if you still want to feel that way. But if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, then your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you want men 18 to 44, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. Email me at matt_shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
As an aside, something else I wanted to pass along to you guys is a bit of a public service, is to encourage you to read the Players Tribune article that Kevin Love published on Tuesday morning on that website. If you're a social media person, you can find it pretty easily. Well, if you're listening to this podcast, I'm guessing you could find it as well. And I would hope, anyways, I'm not sure how you would get to a podcast if you don't know how to find an article online. The article kind of stems from a tweet that DeMar DeRozan of the Raptors, the Pistons are playing tonight, made over the weekend in L.A. Do you make a tweet? I don't know. I guess that would be correct. I don't know. But he said, quote, "This depression gets the best of me," on a late night tweet while he was home for the All-Star game in L.A. A couple days later, DeRozan went on and gave the Toronto Star a nice, insightful interview about the mental health problems he's had. Not very serious stuff, but just kind of a little bit of depression and how we need to lift the stigma in society from those types of things. Kevin Love took it a step further and detailed in his article about a panic attack that he had during a game this year, kind of taking that conversation a step further. I recommend this read. And by the way, I'm one of those people. I've talked to a therapist before. I wouldn't say depression or whatever it is. It's kind of a sadness and emptiness that lingered at a time longer than it should have, when otherwise things were okay in my life. I certainly echo the statements of those guys that don't have to feel bad about it. Get help. You should go out and do that. It's not a weakness and not something that should be trivialized by society. And I retweeted that link from the Locked On Pistons account and my Twitter account on Tuesday, and also passed it along early Wednesday morning on Facebook. So check that out. But a couple reasons for Pistons fans to not be sad and to be optimistic about the rest of this year, as dire as the situation seems and certainly is for the Pistons. And one, we'll go back way back in history for this one. Reddit user Rake2024 on the Detroit Pistons subreddit pointed all of this out and brought it to our attention. In 1976, let's go back then to before my time, before probably many of the listeners' time, but the Pistons were 26-43 on March 19th. So kind of similar points in the season here. Bob Lanier, the center, was leading the way for that team. This was the first year of the post-Dave Bing era. The Pistons had fired head coach Ray Scott in January. Inexplicably and out of nowhere, the team won 10 of their next 11 games before dropping the final two games of the season, finishing 36-46, 10 games under 500, but still made the playoffs as the fifth and final team in the Western Conference, six games behind the fourth team in, the Phoenix Suns, who went on to the NBA Finals that year. Then they pulled the upset, the Pistons did, in a 2-out-of-3 series win over the division champion of the Midwest that the Pistons were in at that time, the Milwaukee Bucks, and that was the first year of the post-Kareem era for the Milwaukee Bucks franchise. It would be 9 years before the Pistons would win another playoff series. Does that sound familiar, by the way? The next one came in 1985 when the Pistons swept the Nets 3-0 before losing to Boston 4-2 in the second round. By the way, Boston would knock off Detroit 2 years later in the Eastern Conference Finals when Bird stole the ball from Isaiah before getting revenge. Before the Pistons were able to get revenge on Larry Bird and the Celtics the following year on the way toward losing the 1988 NBA Finals to the Lakers in seven games, the year before the Pistons got the back-to-back titles with the Bad Boys. And by the way, we are now, this season is year 10 since the Pistons have won a playoff series. So if this season ends the way it appears to be headed, where the Pistons won't win a playoff series, that will make it longer than the drought that went from Lanier to Isaiah. So sad times that we live in. Maybe a little bit of perspective there. That subreddit that I mentioned also links to a YouTube clip of a game at Cobo Arena where Bob Lanier makes a couple blocks that sends Game 6 against Golden State in the second round into overtime. The Pistons went ahead and lost that game, and the season was over, but I'll throw up that link to the YouTube clip of that. It's a little spotlight from Cobo Arena days, 1976, Bob Lanier We'll throw that up on social media. That was the year that Gar Hurd's famous shot for Phoenix, the turnaround jumper from 20, that sent the game against the Boston Celtics into triple overtime in Game 5 of the NBA Finals. Boston went on to win that game and then win Game 6 of the championship a couple days later. You remember seeing that clip. Some of the old folks talk about it as if that was the greatest game all ever, or stuff like that. You know, obviously, maybe that's been surpassed by some of those Heat Spurs games a couple years back, or maybe there's some other games that aren't coming to the top of my mind right now. But with a more modern look of optimism, we'll point to an article from James Edwards III of The Athletic, friend of the pod. He has a story that dropped, I believe, on Tuesday about Stan Van Gundy's first year as a head coach in the NBA of the Miami Heat. A reminder, by the way, Stan Van Gundy, before he became a pro coach, he coached the Wisconsin Badgers, in a factoid that I forgot, by the way, going 13-14 with Whiskey in 1994-95. That was his one season he had with the team. He had Michael Finley as a senior that year in a disappointing year, following up from Stu Jackson's two-year tenure before he left for the NBA to take over the Vancouver expansion franchise. And then he was, by the way, Stan Van Gundy fired after his one season, and the team hired Dick Bennett, and the Badgers became the thorn in the side of Big Ten teams everywhere, including a couple Big Ten teams here in the state of Michigan. Anyways, Van Gundy, in his first year with the Heat in 2003-2004 with a rookie named Dwayne Wade, not Darko Milicic, but Dwayne Wade, the team was sitting at 25-36, 61 games into the season. The article said 51 games, by the way, into the season, but The Athletic, not exactly known for their copy editing. For comparison's sake, your Pistons are now 29-35, which is 64 games into this season. So the Pistons have a better winning percentage than the Heat did back then, 453-410, but they're also three games later into the season. What did the Heat do when they were 11 games under 500 at that time? They went on to win 14 of their last 17 games, 14-3 finish, and got as high as a 4 seed in the Eastern Conference. This is back in the depths of the Eastern Conference when it was as bad as ever, by the way. And then they went on to win their first round series, and they had Lamar Odom on that team, Rafer Alston, Caron Butler. You remember that team. That was, I think, the year before the Shaq trade, when they became the championship team that they would be a couple years later. And as James Nathan notes in his story, a story that I highly recommend reading, by the way, he says, and I quote, "Going on a run equivocal to the Heat's will be daunting. Detroit plays 10 of its remaining 18 games away from home, including six straight starting next week against Western Conference opponents. The Pistons are 9-22 on the road this season. On the flip side, only 8 of the remaining 18 games are against teams with winning records." So a little bit of optimism from a couple different corners, history and the not so past history for the Pistons and their coach. But we're going to be talking about some highlights, and I'll share some of the interview that Locked On Heat did with Pistons assistant coach Tim Hardaway up after this, the always entertaining personality holding one of the clipboards for Stan Van Gundy right now with the Pistons. But speaking of coaches, new coach in Detroit, Matt Patricia of the Detroit Lions, and you should listen to Locked On Lions as the Leos get ready for the draft. Matt Derry of Detroit Radio is your host, and you should check that out every day, in addition to the other NBA podcasts that we have here on the network, and also the NFL podcasts that we have here, and some MLB podcasts as well on the Locked On Network, your team every day. And I wanted to pass along some clips from the Locked On Heat guys. David Ramil, who joined us here on Locked On Pistons last week, has an interview with Tim Hardaway, actually kind of a two-parter, that they shared on their podcast, so you should check that out from a couple days ago on Locked On Heat. You can find that out there, and they've got a more of extended interview, so if you want to hear more from Tim Hardaway before a game against the Orlando Magic last week, you should check out the Locked On Heat guys, and thanks to David Ramil for passing along this audio. The Locked On Network, I mean, we do this kind of stuff. It's great to have the national network behind us to make my job a little bit easier sometimes. So here it is from Tim Hardaway and David Ramil.
How do you think this team matches up with the Heat? Obviously, you're going to be playing tomorrow.
So. Hey, man, you know, we match up with anybody. But, you know, the thing is, we just got to come out and play hard. If you come out and play hard every night, you give yourself a chance. If we play hard for 48 minutes, we give ourselves a chance each and every night. You know, just running offense, moving the ball side to side, doing what we're supposed to do. Making shots, of course, is a big key to it. But playing defense, not giving up no easy fast breaks, and doing what we're supposed to do on defense, we give ourselves a chance each and every night. So we match up with anybody anytime. Well, you know, the game has changed.
Yeah, sure.
The game has changed. Players have changed. So you can't do a lot of things that we used to do in practice or in games or you know, you just can't do a lot of things. But you know, you can't beat up folks. We used to beat up folks in the 90s. You know, you used to get smacked around in the 90s. We used to practice 2.5 hours. That was good. To me, it was cool. At times, you know, I think, you know, a lot of people, when we thought we didn't need it, we needed it. You can't do that right now.
You think the game would be better if some of those elements you talked about would be back? If guys practice harder and maybe it was a little bit more physical?
Well, you know, not physical on the court, but practice.
Yeah.
If the guys practice, then, I think it'd be a lot less injuries if they practice. So that's just me.
Tim Hardaway has been an assistant with the Pistons for 4 years. He came over with Stan Van Gundy. So this is his fourth season with Detroit, his first coaching job. And we'll see if he's back next year along with his boss, obviously Stan Van Gundy. But also, I'm looking for your rants or essays about the Detroit Pistons. Need your help. What are your thoughts on the team? What would you change going forward? What would you do with Stan Van Gundy? Are there some particular trades that you want to make with the team? I need you to do some of the work for me for next week, so send me some thoughts on social media or via email. Email an audio clip or an essay, and I'll play it on the air sometime next week, or read your statements if you'd rather do that. You know how to find me on social media, but you can also email me at matt_schoch@yahoo.com. Already got a couple submissions for that, so thanks to my guys, Brishan and Daniel, for those. Interested to hear your thoughts, so get at me as soon as possible on that. And tomorrow we'll be breaking down the game with Toronto, the Raptors. Can the Pistons continue beating up on tired teams? We will find out tonight. And also give us a follow on the Locked On NBA Network Twitter handle at Locked On NBA Net. And like us on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. Subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. Give us a rating on iTunes, even if it's another one of the negative ones like we have in a plethora right now. But thanks for listening, everyone. All the support that you've given the podcast, I really do mean that. Appreciate it very much. And we'll talk to you all again soon.